Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording from Wild Wings of Onika with Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon and soldiers from the 34th ECAB who recently returned from a deployment to the Middle East. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Our state's Yellow Ribbon networks are an incredible resource as we work to connect service members, veterans, military families, employers, and communities. They help ensure the resilience of those who serve. Started right here in Minnesota, our Yellow Ribbon program is now the model for networks across the nation. Since we proclaimed our first Yellow Ribbon network in 2008, hundreds more have emerged in counties, cities, communities, and at companies statewide. These self-sustaining networks draw together agencies, community leaders, and volunteers. They strive to support the service members, veterans, and military families of any age and from any era that live and work in their area. The continued growth and improvement of this program are vitally important as service members and their families continue to adapt to increasing demands and training requirements as we see across the force. To all of our incredibly generous and dedicated Yellow Ribbon volunteers, thank you. Your help ensures our service members and their families remain resilient and ready to serve. If you are ready to join a Yellow Ribbon network near you or make your large company or community Yellow Ribbon, please visit mnbtyr.ng.mil. That's mnbtyr.ng.mil.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Chuck Haas, who is from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon and a member of the Hugo City Council. Are you a member of the City Council, Chuck?
Since 1998.
1998. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. This is the first time you convinced Sergeant Ben that we should come out here to Wild Wings of Onika. And there's something going on today. Can you tell us what it is?
Oh, I sure would. We're having our 24th. Welcome Home to Troops Pheasant Hunt. We've hosted every returning Minnesota National Guard unit from overseas deployment since 2010. It's our 24th event. Today we have the 24th ECAB out there. We got over 100 soldiers chasing pheasants and shooting sporting clays. And unfortunately, because of COVID, we can't have our delicious wild game dinner, but we're giving them a box lunch.
So a few minutes ago, you got the first half of them started, and while we've got a little time in between, we're going to talk about some of those things, and then you can go back out and get the second half started for this afternoon. And a little later in the show, we're going to talk to the Command Sergeant Major of the 34th ECAB, who was part of that deployment. But Chuck, I want you to tell me and tell our listeners a little bit about the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network. You've been sending care packages to the troops for how many years?
Oh, since 2010.
And how did that all get started?
Well, it started actually before there was a Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network. There was a lady in town whose son was in the Air Force, and she started sending care packages, and she became a part of our Yellow Ribbon Network and got us started sending care packages, and the rest is history.
And I understand, Chuck, that you've now sent 64,687 care packages, almost enough to fill up two C-130s.
That's correct, yeah.
And they've gone to troops deployed all over the world.
Everywhere. You know, Bagram Airfield, Germany, ships at sea.
Gitmo.
Gitmo, yep. Gitmo just got a special shipment of Rambo electric bikes.
Gitmo, of course, is they can't leave the base. It's right there on a corner of Cuba.
It's 50 square miles, too. It's a big base.
Yeah, there's a lot of people there and a lot of mosquitoes, I'm hearing. And we're going to talk about them in a little bit, but I want to talk about some of your care package partners.
Oh, we have just a whole slew of care package partners. One does something special. That's European Roasteries. They will package up a special blend of coffee. The Red Devils got Red Devils blend coffee this last time. The Stillwater-based MPs got the Stillwater Gitmo blend. Okay, the division got their... They're Red Bull blend, so that's one of our great partners. Oakdale Fleet Farm has been putting on a treats for the troops program the last couple of years. A couple thousand pounds of treats every year. We sent that to the 135 in Djibouti. Boy Scouts with their popcorn. Girl Scouts with the cookies. We have all sorts of Girl Scout cookies.
If you're a deployed troop, you got to have those Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah. And it's just an inspiration to see the Forest Lake High School Rotary students get together. They organize a complete care package all on their own for these last 2 years. They gathered over 1,000 pounds of donated items for care packages, and they even get a couple hundred, $500 donated for the help with the postage. Our partners at 3M, right after coffee, is Command Hooks. Command Hooks are just wonderfully received by the troops, and our friends at 3M provide those to us. Fairview Clinics has a candy for book exchange program, and last year we got 3,000 pounds of candy from Fairview. That's a lot of candy. Yep. And our Hugo Elementary School students here in Hugo are putting handmade fleece blankets together to keep the troops warm when they're deployed to cold weather places. This year, the blankets are going to Bagram Air Field in our 194th Field Artillery over there.
We're speaking with Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network out at Wild Wings of Onica, where soldiers from the 34th ECAB are out shooting clays and birds this morning. And there's more coming this afternoon. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Chuck, I want to jump down a little bit to the two of the 135 is over in Africa.
Yes.
And they're deployed, and about 700 soldiers, and they've needed some stuff, and you've helped them out too.
Yes, we have. You mentioned mosquitoes before. Yeah, they have a lot of flies and mosquitoes over there, so we're sending them bug repellent and those electronic, look like little tennis rackets, fly zappers, and they've received this year's supply, like I mentioned before, from the Oakdale Fleet Farm Treats for the Troops. They've got their bayonet blend coffee.
Came from European roasteries, we know that.
Yeah.
And in their time off, they needed a little help for archery and basketball.
Yes, they did. We sent them some archery targets, and our old friend from Serve Our Troops, Ted Johnson from the Minnesota Timberwolves, arranged to have a new basketball backboard sent over to them.
Very good. You're helping have a little fun in their time off, and you helped the MPs down in Gitmo have a little fun too. I understand some uniforms went down there.
Yes, they had a request for some softball uniforms, and they sent us a photo of that the other day. They're really snazzy looking uniforms, and I think they're pretty good uniforms too, because they beat the first team they played 32-2.
I think the uniforms had something to do with that.
I don't know.
Good work, Chuck. And they're doing something special down there that you can't even do during this virus year. You have your hamburger night here in Hugo, and that's been suspended. But they're doing it down in Gitmo.
Yeah, we have our Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network Burger Night, a remote site down there at Guantanamo Bay. We send them money to buy the burgers and all the fixings, and they have a MWR night once a week or once a month for their soldiers to get together and have a burger. And we've got some pictures of those events on our Facebook page, and it's really nice to see people enjoying burgers.
And you kind of started them on that by providing them some lunch before they left for that deployment.
Well, you know, that was interesting. I got an invitation to their deployment ceremony, and I said, well, you know, where's the lunch, you know, or a meal or something? And they said, well, we can't quite do that. I said, well, we can't let that stand. So I got a hold of my old buddy Mike Polina from Stillwater. And we with Mike and help from a lot of sponsors, we were able to put on a lunch for 400 family members and 150 soldiers.
And Chuck, our audience doesn't know it, but you were down at the Mayo for a 100,000-mile tune-up. And while you were there in your room, I understand you and your son provided hot dogs and fixings for 800 of the 347th RSG and the 190 and 94th. How in the world you're supposed to be resting in the hospital?
Well, you know, we have a deep bench at the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network, and it starts with family. And my son Mike is an excellent cook and likes to do a large group food processing or food preparation like that. So I called him up, and he took that job on, and he got the volunteers marshaled and the food organized and bought it and cooked it and served them all.
You know, you're going to have to answer for that, because we're going to talk to the command sergeant major of the 34th ECAP coming up soon. And I think he's got some words for you on what you're supposed to be doing from that Mayo Clinic hospital bed. So we're talking with Chuck Haas from the Wild Wings of Anika on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the Command Sergeant Major from the 34th ECAB right here on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today has been Chuck Haas, and we're recording from the Wild Wings of Onika, where the 34th ECAB, who recently returned from a deployment, is out shooting some birds and shooting some clays. And Chuck, you got the guys started this morning. They're pretty excited?
Oh, they're just so excited. You know, we had registration at 0800, and they're all done by 0805.
They were right on time, and the Sergeant Major's going to say, who's the ones that were there at 5 minutes past? But we'll let that go for today. They're supposed to be home resting after a long deployment. And joining us now is Command Sergeant Major Mitch Hellkamp from the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade, which we've referred to as the 34th ECAB. Sergeant Major, welcome home and welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
Sergeant Major, it's been a long time since we saw you at the studio before you went on that deployment. Can you tell us what the mission was and in the process? You trained up for it in Camp Ripley, you trained up for it here in Minnesota, you went and had some pre-training, and then off you went to the Middle East.
Yes, we did. We did training, like you said, at Camp Ripley, and then we went and spent about 53 days down at Fort Hood getting ready to take that mission over in the Middle East, which was a Combat Aviation Brigade security mission, and moving soldiers and equipment throughout the theater.
And your the ECAB flies the Black Hawk helicopters?
Yes, we fly the Black Hawk helicopter and the Chinook.
Okay, so you took with you about 700 soldiers?
From Minnesota, yes. We took 700 soldiers. Total, we had about 2,000 soldiers over there. So we took the 700 from Minnesota, and we took a battalion out of Montana, and we took a... We had 11 other states, and we had two medevac units that we took from New Hampshire and Ohio, and we took an active duty attack helicopter battalion out of Fort Hood with us. We had a air group from Italy with us and an air group from Spain.
So that has to present some challenges to get all of those people to work together. Was the ECAB the lead group?
The ECAB was the lead group, yes. Everybody else fell in underneath the ECAB. And looking at it from the outside, it's like, hey, wait a minute. This is going to pose a huge challenge. But when you get there and you start building those relationships with other units in active duty and other countries, it's a lot easier than one would think it would be.
Sergeant Major, you've been deployed on these missions before, so you've seen it happen. So you kind of knew what to expect, and I would guess you probably knew some people from those other units.
I knew a few. We spent a year before we went on the deployment, Colonel Fix and myself, traveling around the country, meeting these other units, making sure they understood the command philosophy and what our mission was and what we wanted to achieve while we were over there. So we'd met them before and then got to know them, and they ended up being brothers and sisters on the deployment, and it worked out very well.
So, Sergeant Major, part of that is you bring all of those people from those various units halfway around the world, out in the kind of a hostile territory, desert area in the Middle East, and you have to provide everything, food, water, munitions, fuel. You have to bring your helicopters in there. You have to maintain them. So you took all your maintenance crew with you as well?
Yes, we took the 834th ASB, which is comprised of three different states, and they did a great job maintaining all the aircraft, and we even were able to help the Spanish with some of their maintenance. So, no, they did a great job on maintenance over there, and as everybody knows, COVID also threw us a curveball over there, so that added to some interesting challenges because you couldn't cross borders with trucks bringing food to different bases. So we were limited on food, and not that anybody went hungry or anything, but there's a few days you had to need an MRE to get by, but
Oh, delicious. I think Chuck's serving those today, isn't he? Some MREs when you come back in from the field.
I thought he said a brown bag lunch.
Is that going to taste better than an MRE, Chuck?
Oh, yeah. We've got the Greater American Ribs doing the box lunches for us.
Sergeant Major, I think that's going to beat out those MREs.
Without a doubt.
Now, when you were talking to Command Sergeant Major Mitch Helkamp from the 34th ECAB on Minnesota Military Radio, my co-host today is Chuck Haas. And as I said, we're out at Wild Wings of Onika to allow some of those soldiers from the 34th ECAB to get some hunting in that they missed last year while they were deployed. They were hunting a different kind of thing over in the Middle East, weren't they, Sergeant Major?
Yes, we were.
So those choppers, I imagine they went on lots and lots of missions for the 10 months you were there.
Yes, they did. They were busy all of the time, and it was, some of them were routine missions and some of them were not quite routine, but they were able to complete all the missions that we were assigned.
And of course, if we think back over the last year, there's a lot of things that have happened. As you said, COVID, mm-hmm. that just presented another problem that you had to deal with on a difficult deployment. And then, of course, there's things that happen around the world in every calendar year, and there were some in there, too, and we don't need to visit those. Now, when you were over there, did you do some training with some of the local governments?
We did a little bit. Right after we got there, the political situation kind of changed, so NATO kind of pulled out. So we were very limited to what we could do because it was pretty much just the United States there during that time, because NATO had kind of taken a pause in their training mission. So
there were some tense moments in the Middle East.
Yes.
Sergeant Major, one of the things that I've been impressed with, we've visited Kuwait a couple of times. You can take an American soldier and put him down in the jungles of Vietnam or in the deserts of Kuwait, and they find a way to make themselves comfortable.
Yes, they do.
Do you teach that, Sergeant Major?
Well, we have a certain way of teaching it, and this is what we like. But soldiers are very, very creative, and they will find exactly what they need and make. You can give them nothing, and they will make it into a Taj Mahal.
So you give them a tent and say that's where you're going to stay, and somehow they figure out how to insulate it and provide some air conditioning.
Oh, yes.
And then, of course, everybody wants coffee. And
yes.
I was surprised. Sergeant Ben and I went over there a few years back, and there were coffee places to get coffee, several places, and there was even a Harley-Davidson dealership on the base we were at.
Yes,
how does that happen in the middle of the desert, Sergeant Major?
I'm not sure how that got there, but when I first went there, that was already there.
So tell us, you were 10 months out in the Middle East with 700 of your soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
How'd they do? Did they do well? Did they come back healthy? Is everybody all right?
Yes, everybody came back quite healthy. Our soldiers did an outstanding job. I had, a vision of, hey, this is how it's going to be, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how the soldiers are going to do. Well, the mission changed just about weekly, and the soldiers were very adept at changing, and they did an outstanding job. No matter what got thrown at us or what happened, they were able to take that mission and solve it and just make it unbelievable. I mean, I've stood there at times with my mouth hanging open. I was in awe of how well they did.
Sergeant Major, I was in the Air Force, as you know, but I've also been impressed by the fact that the commanding officer of a unit works with his command sergeant major, and that's a heck of a partnership. Part of it makes up the decisions, what we have to do, and the other part says, let's go figure out how to get this done. The reports I've gotten is it was a pretty successful deployment.
It was, yes, thank you.
So you worked together well and took care of whatever was thrown at you.
Yep, Colonel Fix and I thought, you know, we had our arguments, but we made a pretty good team, and we figured out who each other were, and we were able to work together very well.
Very good, Sergeant Major. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Command Sergeant Major Mitch Helkamp on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're out at Wild Wings today, and we'll be back to our interviews in a moment. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Landlords hold the key to helping Minnesota reach the goal of housing every homeless veteran. We pay tribute to the landlords and the property owners who are putting an end to veteran homelessness in Minnesota. We are looking for more landlords in Minneapolis and St. Paul who are willing to stand up and put keys in the hands of our heroes. If you're a landlord who's interested in giving to our heroes a second chance, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org. Housing homeless veterans is possible through the willingness of landlords now and in the future to open their doors to Minnesota veterans and to bring them all the way home. Call 1-888-LINK-VET and join the movement.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
We've been recording today from Wild Wings of Oneka. My co-host is Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon, and we have many of the soldiers from the 34th ECAB out here shooting clays and birds this afternoon. They're just back from a deployment in the Middle East, and we've been talking to Sergeant Major Mitch Hellkamp, who is the Command Sergeant Major of the 34th ECAB. And, Chuck, stay tuned. We're going to ask you about some of the silly things you sent over to the 34th ECAB when they were gone. But, Sergeant Major, we were talking about when you were over there and what a great job they did. There's a process for coming home. It's not just as easy as getting on a plane, getting off a plane, and going home. Can you tell us what your troops had to go through because of debriefing, because of the virus, because of various things?
You bet. When you're at Fort Hood getting ready to go over, you have to start this, they call it, SFL TAP. It's about reemployment when you come home. So you have to start that before you leave. Then you have to finish it while you're over there. And they always say, hey, you got to get this done. Otherwise, you're going to have to stay 2 extra days to do this at Fort Hood's. So we got that all done, get there, and they don't even talk about it. But everybody did it in the ECAB. Everybody was done. Everybody did all the paperwork. So that's one thing you have to do. Then you have to do some medical forms and some administrative forms while you're still in country to get everything lined up so that when you get on the ground in Fort Hood, the demo process goes quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
Normally they say it's 5 to 7 days to do a demo process. Well, so we were looking forward to that. And then COVID says, hey, guess what? You're going to have to sit and do nothing for 14 days. So we make sure that you're not COVID positive. Then we can start the demo process.
Quarantine time.
So, yes.
2020 caught up with the 34th ECAB soldiers.
Yes, it did. And it's just, I hate to use the word, but you are very much quarantined. They bring your food to you. They put it in the tent. And then they tell you, hey, your food's here. Then you can go to that tent. You serve the food to yourselves. And then you go back to your fenced-in quarantine billeting area and do the best you can to get through that day because there's the internet is basically all you have.
So 14 days of nap time and
exactly.
Kind of catching up from the Middle East and the deployment.
Those first couple of days, you know, you can get a good couple of naps in during the day, but then after that, the anxiety and the, hey, what are we going to do now? And starts to wear on people. We had where the soldiers were in the main billeting area. I was about a half a mile from there, so I didn't get to go see him. But I got a report from the division sergeant major that some of our soldiers, to his chagrin, created a slip and slide and had an afternoon of fun in the sun when it was 85, 90 degrees. And he calls and yells at me, and it's like, hey, sergeant major, what do you really expect when you put soldiers in a spot and don't give them anything to do? They're going to come up with it on their own. Well, the good thing was they were all wearing masks and they were social distancing. And I said, okay, so why are you calling me yelling at me when those soldiers are doing the right thing and having fun?
So they just got back from 10 months of the Middle East.
Well, exactly. So it's like, got it, Sergeant Major, but guess what? I think they're doing just fine.
So you're the Sergeant Major. You're responsible. You had to take care of that.
Exactly.
So everybody wanted to get home to their families.
Yes.
And get back to business. And I understand that when you did come back, now you made it for Thanksgiving, you're here for Christmas, everybody was off for a couple of months?
Yes. Yep. Everybody had about 30, 35 days of leave. Some of them had 60 days of leave, but it's now we're getting to that time where people have to start going back to work.
And we wouldn't even have been able to catch up with you, except you came out here so you could shoot some birds, and so it's Chuck's fault that we caught you today and put you on the radio.
Exactly. Yep.
Chuck, see what you did to the Sergeant Major? You're in trouble again. You were organizing things from your bed in the Mayo Clinic, and now you got him off of his leave, but he's smiling. I think you're safe.
I think he's having fun.
Oh, yes.
Now, let's go back to when the 34th ECAB was over there. I think you were ready to send packages before they even got there. You had packages ready to go in there in Fort Hood.
Yeah, we sent them 1,000 pounds of good stuff down in Fort Hood, and that was fun to see the pictures that they were enjoying all those treats. And, of course, they got the Red Devil's coffee from European Roasteries down there in La Center, Minnesota.
We got to ask him about that, Chuck.
Yeah, the Red Devil coffee.
European Roasteries is a good friend of ours in southern Minnesota. They do a special blend, and then they do some packaging. And, of course, they used your logo, the Red Devil blend. Did you get surprised by that?
I got an email from Chuck, so we kind of had an idea, but I wasn't sure. And then all of a sudden this coffee shows up, and everybody going, hey, where did we get this? Where did this come from? Where's this? What's this? And we're handing the coffee out, you know, and they're like, hey, this is our coffee. Who's sending us our coffee? So it's like, hey, that's Chuck and the Hugo Yellow Ribbon. And
you got some smiles out of that one.
Oh, yes. We got a lot of mileage out of that coffee, and there's a lot of those bags of coffee. Soldiers drank the coffee, and the bags came home as a little memento. So.
So did he send you any Girl Scout cookies?
Yes. Yes.
Chuck. Cases and cases.
Cases
and
cases.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, during the COVID quarantine or whatever you'd call it while they were there, the chaplain said, you know, we're trying to have some MWR events. Can you send us some bingo prizes? You know, so we sent them all sorts of fancy prizes, T-shirts and stuff for the bingo prizes.
Did you have to send them the bingo cards, too?
No, I think they had those.
They had that?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So occasionally you get some special requests from the chaplain. And, of course, Sergeant Major, when you're on a deployment like that, the chaplain's pretty important, isn't he?
Yes, he is. The chaplain's really my right-hand man because when I'm out talking to soldiers, they'll tell me one thing. And I think they're a little more honest with the chaplain. So every day or two, I'm going talking to the chaplain saying, hey, sir, this is what I'm hearing. What are you hearing? Just to make sure we're getting both sides of the coin.
So your mechanics are tuning up all the equipment. The chaplains are tuning up your soldiers.
Exactly.
All right. Chuck, did you get any other special requests from the chaplains?
Juicy boxes. You know, squeeze little, bottles of juice.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was like fruit, applesauce, and apparently that was a big hit. They just asked for that a lot. And then Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Hey, anything that was spicy or tasted different and good, they liked it.
Sergeant Major, I'm sure that you had a pretty fair chow at the chow halls over there, but there's some things from home that make it a little easier on the deployment.
It really is. I mean, you can complain about the chow, but it's a 14-day menu, so it's good food. It's all you need, but it's just that stuff coming from home just breaks up the monotony of every day, and you get to share it with your friends, and hey, look what mom sent me, look what my wife sent me, look. And it's kind of like a community where you get to share that with everybody. So it's kind of ties people together, getting that stuff from home and those care packages.
Sergeant Major, last question. There's a lot of support here in Minnesota for the families and for the troops. And of course, we've been talking all day about what the Hugo Yellow Ribbon does. How important is that?
You can't stress it enough what the Hugo Yellow Ribbon did for us over there and all these, you know, all these groups back here. It's not all about the soldiers that are over there. They're taking care of our families while we're gone, and it gives you that peace of mind that you never get. And you've got the Minnesota Military Family Foundation that if a soldier's family member's the water heater goes out, for example, they can make a few phone calls, and that day or the next day, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation has taken care of that, and they're getting a water heater put in for that family member. And it's just amazing. A soldier can't do that. And it's so amazing to see the support that the soldiers in the Minnesota Army National Guard and Air Guard get here in the state of Minnesota. It's just phenomenal.
It comes down to the ability to focus on the mission and get home safe.
Yes, it is. It's amazing.
Sergeant Major, welcome home. I want to thank you for joining us today, and I hope you have a great hunt this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it.
That was Sergeant Major Mitch Heltkamp from the 34th ECAB on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, as we've been talking about, we're recording from Wild Wings of Onika with Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Program, and he's got over 100 soldiers from the 34th ECAB out here who just returned from a deployment to the Middle East. They're pretty excited out there. They're shooting clays and killing birds, and more of them coming this afternoon. Chuck, it's been pretty interesting talking to the Sergeant Major so far on the show, and you only got in trouble with him twice.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And he didn't have you doing any push-ups or anything. You escaped.
Not yet, anyway. The day's only half over.
Well, we got a new guest here today. Would you like to introduce him?
I'd like to introduce Tyler Scott, the manager here at Wild Wings, and an Army veteran.
Army veteran Tyler, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Wild Wings of Onika. Can you tell our audience what happens out here? How long has this been here, and how long have you had to put up with Chuck Haas?
Sure. Well, the club was established in 1956. We're the oldest operating hunt club in Minnesota. It's been under the same management since 1972. We have 530 acres and release about 25,000 birds a year. So we have several thousand hunters come out and two sporting clays courses, and we do a lot of charity events like this. And Chuck, how long has Yellow Ribbon had this event?
This is our 10th year, our 24th hunt.
And we're going to get back to that a little bit more, but can you tell us about your season? I understand that your hunting season runs from September 1st through April?
Yes, that's correct.
And no license are required here?
Nope. We are a licensed shooting preserve through the state of Minnesota, so that covers all our hunters, so they don't need their individual licenses.
And no lead shot?
Correct. We use all non-toxic shot, so steel shot here, and then we use biodegradable clay targets also, just to try to help the environment.
Now, does this club have a membership?
Yep, we're a private club. We allow 300 members for our hunting club membership, and then we have shooting sports memberships also.
And when we don't have a year like 2020 with the COVID, you've got a real nice clubhouse and dining room.
Yes, yep. We have full bar and do some pizzas and stuff. It's a nice area to get out and hunt, and then come in and enjoy some camaraderie in the clubhouse.
Chuck, 2020 is a COVID year, of course, and it's closed up a lot of bars and restaurants and all kinds of things. And usually, I've been out here for a couple of your hunts, usually in between, there's a group out in the morning and then another group goes in the afternoon, but usually have a wild game feed here in the restaurant. Can you, one of you or both of you, tell us about that? Because the food is just fantastic.
It is just amazing to have everybody come in and enjoy roast pheasant and duck and, you know, sauces and dressings and all that stuff. And we just got to do everything outside today to keep everybody safe. So they're going to get a box lunch to eat in their POV. But we're making do.
So, Tyler, they're going to miss that real nice dinner, aren't they?
Yeah, it's pretty good. So it's sad that we're not able to do that for this hunt, but we'll make the best of it.
There's something about getting out in the outdoors and doing some hunting and working up an appetite, and then you come back here and you've got that wild game feed. And I don't know if there's anything better than that. It's guy stuff. It's really great stuff.
Right. Yeah, get back and enjoy the harvest and talk about the hunt. It's really a good time.
So do you have a lot of charitable events that happen at Wild Wings?
Yeah, especially early in the fall, September, and even August, we do a lot of sporting clays events. That's our big fundraisers, like North St. Paul Maplewood Rotary, St. Paul Canine Foundation are a couple of big ones that have been out here for a long time.
And things have changed a little bit this year, as we said, because of the COVID. But the governor says as long as we're outside, we can still do some things like golfing and hunting and fishing. So you've had to probably modify what you've done here, but you're still able to get people out.
Correct. Yeah, we actually expanded our outdoor pavilion to make some more room outside ahead of the season since we got shut down in the spring. So that able to give us some room for social distancing and be outside but still be out of the elements a little bit. And then it's nice when they split up to go shoot the sporting clays or hunt in their field. It's all small groups and still gets people outside and active. So
it's all legal and authorized by the governor, and we don't get in any trouble today.
Yeah, we're playing by the rules and still having a good time.
This is good. And when we were preparing to come out here, I looked at the Wild Wings website. There's a lot of information there. And for our listeners that aren't familiar with it, they should go in there, and there's contact information and everything they need.
Yep. And if anyone's interested in anything, they can always just give us a call at the clubhouse, too.
And the website is at, what's the address?
WildWingsOfOnika.com.
WildWingsOfOnika.com. We're speaking with Tyler Scott, the manager at WildWingsOfAnika.com. And we're out here today because of Chuck Haas and the Hugo Yellow Ribbon. And Chuck, I want to come back to this. How did the first hunt start when you did that?
Well, a friend of mine and I, Mike Polina from Stillwater Yellow Ribbon, were lamenting the fact that we couldn't go hunting one day because it was raining. And then we said, oh, wait a minute, there's all these troops deployed that they're missing an entire hunting season. We got to do something about that. And that's when Wild Wings stepped in, the owner Jeff Hughes and their members, and we wouldn't be able to do this without their help and support. They just are tremendous partners and are so efficient and helpful. We just couldn't do it without them.
So who was the first unit that you invited out here?
It was the 34th Infantry Division when they came back from Basra, Iraq, with General Nash and Colonel Mott Vader and Sergeant Ben Houtkooper and just a whole bunch of friends, Neil Leutold and Scott Mills, all those people, you know, they've been on your show. They've been out here, yeah.
So Sergeant Ben and Sergeant Johnny were at the first one.
That's correct.
Good deal, good deal. They've been with us since the start of Minnesota Military Radio. Can you believe that's been over 10 years, Chuck?
Yes.
You and I went on kind of parallel roads.
Exactly,
trying to
yeah.
help people. Chuck, we just got a couple of minutes left. Tell me, today we've got the 34th ECAB out here. You were out there with, what, about 50 of them getting them started this morning? Are they a little revved up?
Oh, they're revved up, and we had the start and a prayer with Chaplain Captain Matt Deitner. He's sort of my ace in the hole. If you remember the weather forecast for today a week ago, it looked
snow.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, snow,
it
yeah.
was bad. And he asked what he could do, and I said, well, you know, give us a couple prayers for good weather. And he did a great job. That low-pressure system is nowhere near the state of Minnesota. So thank you, Chaplain Deitner.
Well, Chuck, we got about a minute left today because of the COVID. When they're done, they're going to get a bag lunch. And then we've got another group coming out that's going to start at 11 o'clock and do a little shooting and then a little hunting.
Yeah, they're going to shoot some clays, the afternoon group. Then they're going to go out in their fields in the afternoon. And when everybody's done, they get a bag of cleaned frozen birds to take home for the harvest table.
Well, you're going to have a great day. The weather's pretty nice and it's cooperated. Just got a few seconds left, Chuck. I'd like to thank you and the Hugo Yellow Ribbon and all your sponsors and all your volunteers. You've been at this a long time, and I see the plaques up here. The troops really enjoy the opportunity to come out here, and they miss the hunting season, but they get to come out and have some fun today.
Yes, they do. They look forward to this. Sergeant Hellkamp mentioned that all through the deployment, it was just sort of a light at the end of the tunnel that they could keep in the focus and help keep their motivation and morale up.
Well, Chuck, I want to thank you and Wild Wings for putting this on again today. And thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. This will play out early in January, and I hope that you can continue with these hunts for a long time.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be with you.
That was Chuck Haas, my co-host today from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
Doug, this is a kind of a special day. We're recording out from Wild Wings of Onika, where we've got soldiers from the 34th ECAB out here with Chuck Haas and the Hugo Yellow Ribbon, and they're out hunting today because they missed their hunting last year when they were deployed. But we're having a pretty good day, and you got any message for them?
You know, welcome home. It's to have everybody back. It's just, you know, it's heartwarming, and to be known that you're here. Having a great day. I love Wild Wings. I've been there a number of times. Just a beautiful place to hunt. And just, you know, God bless America for the ability to do that.
Well, it's great to have them back home all safe and out here having a great day chasing after some birds. Doug, 2020 was a tough year. Pandemic hit the world and hit Minnesota hard. It stopped the Minnesota Patriot Guard for a while, but then you got back to work. Any thoughts on 2020, and what are you looking forward to for this year?
2020 was a great year to forget, Tom, but it's also a great year to remember the things we missed and the things we're excited for now. The one in particular I'm thinking about is, you know, we have in any number of the veterans' homes and hospitals, we have our members go every month, and they're there to play bingo, to have conversations, and to really make sure that these veterans were often forgotten, that, you know, that we've never forgotten them. And we couldn't do that last year. We had one or two months that we could be part of their days or their weekends. So we're looking forward to get back on track with that. You know, we tried to help out with some of the holiday parties with some donations. But you know, we'd much rather spend time with them than give them money. This is really about our heart and our soul. It's not about the money. So we're excited for that. We're busy planning our ride for July for the gathering of the guard, and you know, just get back on track. Let's, you know, not forget the past, but let's keep our eyes focused forward.
And Doug, you mentioned the ride that's going to take a new format for this year. The Patriot Guard ride is changed, and we're hoping to hear a lot of motorcycles.
Well, we are. You know, we're partnering with the four Harley-Davidson dealers in the metro area, and we still got some plans to work out some kinks in there that we're trying to figure a way through, but we've not had our own ride in about 10 years, so it's kind of fun getting back in the saddle again and doing the ride planning and really seeing where we can take this. But the Patriot Ride was just a fabulous event, you know, and then you were there, you did some recordings from there. But this is about the Patriot Guard and the mission. This is about never forget. This is honor, dignity, and respect. And this is what we're looking forward to bringing back to just a complete and entire focus on that. You know, the Gold Star families are never far from us, and many of them ride motorcycles, and we plan to have them absolutely up front, nowhere else.
And Doug, do you need some new Patriot Guard riders to sign up for 2021?
Well, we do. You know, I think to get, you know, the message back out, and it's pretty simple to do. You go to the our website, mnpatriotguard.org. On the left-hand side, click Join Us, and all you need is an email address and a zip code. And every week you're going to see an email come from us listing all of the upcoming missions in the week. Local ride captains will communicate with you directly for local events and things that are going on. And it doesn't take much time. You know, I'm a civilian. I didn't serve in the military. It just takes, you know, patriotism in your heart, a 3x5 flag on a pole, and some ability to get there. You don't have to have a motorcycle, just get there.
And once you go on one of those missions, you're hooked. You're going to be back because it's fabulous, the work that you and your riders are doing. Doug, I hope 2020 is a great year for you and for the Minnesota Patriot Guard, and it's great talking to you today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tom. Welcome home.
That was Doug Bly from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Command Sergeant Major Mitch Hellkamp, Tyler Scott from Wild Wings of Anika, Doug Bly from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, and my co-host Chuck Haas from the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week for another edition of Minnesota Military Radio, coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota MilitaryRadio.com.